Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
So, why don't you stand for a second before we have a special guest speaker today. We got to warm you up here because, you know, Karen's got to bring the word. Karen Bell is going to be sharing today. Yeah, we're warming her up for next Friday. But she came after one of the sessions, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and she was like, she was just exploding while I was preaching and had ideas. And I thought, well, girl, you got to preach them because it obviously seems like you're overflowing. And how many know that Karen has a gift on her life, right? Where ladies are blessed to have her as the overseeing the ladies' ministry. And so tell your neighbor how excited you are, but you got to do it with a loud voice. I'm so excited to see Karen. Go ahead and tell him. Trying to warm you guys up. There we go. We're not quiet. But why don't you guys welcome Karen as she comes up. Woo-hoo! Some days it's just too quiet in here, and Karen likes to get rip-roaring loud. And watch today, she'll be really quiet.
I'll try.
You're going to try.
I'll try to stay loud. In the box you put me in. Be free. And a half. That's funny. Today I feel like I want to start and give you like a 1.5 minute synopsis of who I am, just because there's lots of new people who don't know me. I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I was a good Catholic girl. I did all my sacraments. I was a, the altar server back in the day. You know, we did youth, we did all that stuff. And when I was 20, I met Glenn. On a rebound, I had just come out of a broken engagement. 3 months later, I met Glenn. 6 weeks later, we got engaged. And a year later, we were married. I don't promote that kind of speed, but sometimes it's God. 9 months after we were married, Glenn got sick, and he was on dialysis as a result of that. And so I did 27 years I was a caregiver. And in those years, we believed God for a child. After 15 years of infertility, we got our miracle baby. At the time, I was working in an infertility clinic. And believing God and not doing treatment, not that there's a problem with that. But then we got our miracle baby, and there's a whole story around that. And then in 2019, Glenn got promoted to heaven. And I got to walk through that season. And today, I'm living my dream. That's sort of my story in a nutshell. Those are the chapters of the book of my life that's still being written, as all of your stories are still being written, right? And some chapters are like, oh, that's really hard. You want to put it down and get away from it. And other chapters are, tell me more. I can't wait to hear what happens next, right? Because that's how life is. It's like this. Jay's been doing a series on overload. And I don't know about you, but I believe it's caused a lot of us to reflect about how we're spending our time and to look at what's getting all my time and attention. And he's been giving us homework, and I've been doing it. Sometimes in little pieces and having to walk away from it and go back. But he's really challenged us to live a more balanced life. Would you agree with that? Okay, and he's encouraged us that we have to resist this lie that, you know, this message that's coming at us that we have to be doing more and having more in order to be somebody, you know, and to find out that, guess what? I am completely accepted, completely loved, completely okay apart from everything I do and everything I own. I am not the kind of car I drive. I am not the size of the house I live in. We used to have a pastor, remember Judy? Where Jill and Judy and I were in another church, and in 2000 we came here, so we've been here all these years. But our pastor always used to say, going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. And it's so true. Like, we think you are not the sum of what you own and what you do. You are God's child, period. Loved, valued, and fully accepted apart from all that stuff. And yet, here's this pressure all the time, right? Be more, have more, you know, your status, all of that stuff that we're resisting. And so I am convinced that the only way that we will ever maintain balance in our life and be successful in doing all the things that Jay's, you know, been teaching us is having the ability to set boundaries in your life. Without boundaries, you will live perpetually overwhelmed in the rat race, chasing the next, never getting ahead, and completely overwhelmed. It is essential if you're going to live in peace and a relatively stress-free life, then you must learn how to set boundaries. And we need boundaries in every area of your life. How many need work boundaries? Play boundary. Some people just, they're just all play. Let's do video games all night and sleep in the morning. Okay? You can have a boundary that's way out of whack in play. Health, finances. How about relationship boundaries? Ew. You know, friends, family, all that stuff. But do you realize that boundaries were actually God's idea? And the very first conversation God has with man, do you know what he talked about in Genesis? Boundaries. Boundaries. That's right. His first conversation was in Genesis 2, 15 to 17, and I'll just read it to you. It says, and the Lord took the man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, blessing and curse, you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. His first conversation is a boundary. So then why as Christians are we so like, we hear that word boundary and we go, ooh, negative, bad, keep out. When boundaries were actually a God-created thing for our benefit. And having boundaries in your life, for one, will keep your peace. Will keep your sanity. Will keep your health. Boundaries are so necessary. And it's interesting, even when you read about God and the temple, that not everybody had access to the temple, right? Only some people. God had priests that went in, and some had more responsibilities than others. And they had certain things. They had to wear certain clothes, have their hair a certain way. And then there were those that got to go into the Holy of Holies. And that boundary, with that boundary, they had certain responsibilities also. But boundaries were all throughout, from Genesis right through to Revelations, we see a God of boundaries. And then there's Jesus. And I think here is the most spirit-filled, loving person who ever walked the earth. And he modeled boundaries perfectly for us. And I think of three things that I see in his life. One thing he did with a boundary is he withdrew to lonely places. And even in Luke 5:15 and 16, all the crowds were pressing him and they wanted to hear him speak and they wanted to get healed. And he went away. He just left. He left the pressure and the demands of the people and went away to be with God. So he prioritized his connection with the Father over the demands of the people. Imagine if we began to do that in just one little thing in our life, the change that would happen. And he had pressure. You know, the guys are going, come on, the people are, he's like, let's go, we're going to go over here for a while. He wanted to get away. He also prioritized his calling, which I think is interesting. In Mark 1:35-39, when the disciples tried to bring him back to a town where people wanted more miracles, he said, let us go somewhere else to nearby villages so I can preach there also. This is why I have come. He knew his mission And he guarded against distractions. That's key. Because sometimes, let's say it in the church, we've got to know, this is my mission. God's saying, this is the season. You need to do this now. It needs to get your time and attention. But there are all distractions. Hey, can you? And sometimes it's really hard to turn away from the distraction and stay single-minded on your mission that God has you on, right? And the reality is, as far as relationships go, not everyone should have unlimited access to your life. Jesus had the people, he had the 12, and then he had the 3. And so sometimes we blur those lines because we think having boundaries is unloving. And we're not being Christ-like if we don't say yes to everybody. And if I set a boundary, well, that's not being like Jesus. Jesus loved everybody. And then there are the scriptures that say, oh, if your brother asks for your shirt, you know, give him your coat too. And if he slaps your right cheek, turn, give him your left too. So we're just supposed to, you know, take it all and have no boundaries. Just have at her. That isn't true. That isn't true. But that mindset is somewhere back here that we're trying to undo. So I got thinking about Nehemiah. And you know the story of Nehemiah where God gave him a mission. You're going to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Okay, that's much like putting boundaries in your life. You're building walls. Now, we don't have boundaries so much to keep everybody out. Our boundaries are more about keeping us in. It's about keeping me in peace, keeping me in becoming and being the best version of me to give to other people. It's about me being focused on what God's calling me to at this time in my life. And that doesn't, you know, we have this mindset that it's negative when it's not. And it's not about, I don't like you, go away. It's about keeping me in health, peace, the best version of me. You know, some people have such whacked out boundaries and everybody else gets the best of them. And they come in the door at the end of the day and the family gets all the crumbs. And people live that way year after year. And they all do it in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah. You know, and pastors especially have to guard themselves about that. Going, am I going to give the best of me to my family? Or am I going to give myself to the point of exhaustion to the church that there's nothing left for my family? And it can be the struggle because the demands that come on pastors are real and can be relentless at times. But Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem because he wanted to, and just like us in our life, he wanted to protect what was valuable. And we want to manage our capacity and create space so that we can fulfill our purpose. And it's interesting in Nehemiah chapter 2, starting in verse 13, the first thing that he did, guess what he did? He went out to check out the condition of the walls. And a city without walls is at risk of the enemy walking right in and stealing its resources and disrupting its peace. And it's exactly what it feels like when you lack healthy boundaries in your life. You feel overrun, unprotected, and vulnerable. And so I do believe that the place we begin with boundaries is we need to consider our boundaries and if we even have any in place. We have to go and assess the condition of our walls. So that leads me to ask you, how do you know if you even have any boundaries in place? So these are some signs that you may not have some healthy boundaries in place. And you're going to love me after we talk about this, right? Number one is that you rarely say no. It's tough to say no. And this leads you to take on more tasks than you can handle. Because I don't want to disappoint anybody. And I don't want to admit that I'm already overwhelmed and I can't add one more thing to my to-do list. Because then you're going to think I'm weak. Or you're going to think I'm lazy. It's really hard to say no to somebody that I like and I really want to be friends with. How about that one person that you think, oh, I just love to hang out. I just love to get in with them. And then they ask you to do something and you think, oh, I'll have the, but you're like, this is my one opportunity to finally, like, you know, rub shoulders with the pastor. Okay? And then you just like, I can't say no to that. This is the opportunity to feed that thing in me that need, all that kind of stuff. We don't want to say no. I would rather live with the burden of saying yes rather than the burden of another's disappointment of me saying no. I'm just talking from experience, but I'm sure I'm not the only one. Like, I can't live with their disappointment, and I know they'll be really disappointed. And so I'm just going to say yes. And if I say no, you're going to be really upset with me, and I don't want to be on the receiving end of your upset and anger. And so, you know, it's a small one-time thing I should be able to do. And this is the struggle that happens. You know, you ask me to do, or somebody asks you to do, I'm just saying me because, like, it hit its home. One little thing. Like, can you just give me 3 hours on Saturday morning? That's all I need. And you think, oh, it's only 3 hours on Saturday morning. But, you know, they already asked you for Thursday night for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And Friday morning, you're doing an 8-hour day overtime. And Tuesday, you know, you're meeting your friends for dinner and a movie. So it's not this little 3-hour window on Saturday seems so little, and it's all these little things through the week that pile up and become a great big I'm overwhelmed. And it's sometimes those little things that are the hardest to say no to because we carry so much guilt, or I should be able to do it, or it's only 2 hours. But when we look at the scope of our capabilities in the week, can we or can we not fit it in? And sometimes we can't. And, you know, the other thing of why we can't say no is the FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. Oh, I don't want to miss out, and I don't want to miss out, and I don't want to miss out. I'm going for the JOMO, the joy of missing out. That's the place I'm trying to live now. I'm like, JOMO, I want to just have the joy of missing out on some stuff. But no, it's true, this FOMO. It's like, what? Do you know, honest to God, we had to go to every stinking meeting we heard there was healings happening. We would go to the States. We would come to every meet. We couldn't miss something. And sometimes I can't even tell you the sacrifice it costs to get me or Glenn, both of us, or him at a meeting, especially when Ben was little. I mean, we did it because there was a fear of missing out. What if this meeting is the one time that his miracle was and we didn't come? And that was the assigned night for his miracle and we miss it. What a hog of baloney we believed. That's so stupid now when I think about it. Like, God is limited to that little window of you being there. Oh, whatever. But how we will push ourselves when we think about it, how stupid it is. It was ridiculous. It was so ridiculous. I had so no boundaries in my life that I actually believed that I needed to do the service of two people. Because Glenn was limited in what he could do and serve in a church to his family, like his siblings, his parents, I did all my load and I did all his load so that we did both of us. It's ridiculous. It is totally stupid. Honest to God, I don't know how I did it. It's amazing what the drive to, when you don't feel you are enough, to be enough and think you're getting, it's ridiculous. It's time for us to hear God and have healthy boundaries, because I think I exhausted myself a lot when I didn't need to. And I wonder, was God just going, yeah, let me know when you're done. Yeah, let me know when you're done. You know, crazy, crazy. People's requests and needs are not always my responsibility. How about you say that to yourself once in a while when somebody asks you for something? People's requests and needs are not always my responsibility. And maybe they're not always on their timing. Do you know that Jesus heard that Lazarus was dead and he didn't go, I'm on my way. He hung out where he was for a few more days. So even though there was a demand on him, he waited. And guess what? It's okay if you do too. At least wait long enough to say, Lord, am I supposed to move forward in this? What's the answer to this? We don't. We just go, 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 go. The next thing that we do, we're all guilty of it. I don't think I'm alone. But I just want you to know that learning to say no is possible. It really is. And Matthew 5:37 says, let your no be no and your yes be yes. No lengthy explanation required. You see, children explain and adults inform. And what children do, they did something wrong or they want something and they go on and on about this lengthy, lengthy explanation of things. But as a mature adult, you have a right to just decide what you want to do with your time and your energy, and you don't need permission from other people. You do not have to feel obligated, defend or justify your boundary. You're seeking God. You're setting boundaries for your life. That's between you and God. But how many of us do that? We want to say no, but we give it. Oh, you know, I won't be coming to the family reunion this year. June's a really, really busy month. Both the kids, they have baseball tournaments. And, you know, John's working overtime on Saturdays, and I had the flu for a week, and so I'm way behind schedule around the house, and, you know, the car hasn't been running really well, and I'm concerned if we do a four-hour trip to Toronto, if we have car problem. Just, no, can't make the reunion this year. Hope you have a great time. We don't, how many of us, like, fine, we feel like, I got to tell them why. And you know what happens? Sometimes we make these excuses, because sometimes you just don't want to go. Because you feel like, I don't want to drive 4 hours, have a family reunion, drive back, like, my week is full. But we give this lengthy explanation, which is an excuse, and an excuse is just a reason stuffed with a lie. Because the truth is, I don't want to go, my plate's full. But, you know, it perpetuates all this stuff. But there's really simple ways, but my schedule says no. I've been using that one a lot. My heart wants to do this. I mean, my heart loves women's ministry. My heart wants to open up Bible study again. My capacity right now says, girl, it was not a wise thing to do. So, you know, and you find boundaries with it. So we'll start the women's thing. We'll do it. But those things sometimes are really hard. And I want to tell you, that decision was tough. And the girls that were in Cuba with me know how I battled that thing, that I got to tell Jay. And he's going to be so disappointed. And what about all these people that, you know what? In the end, these wise women around me said, the women are strong women. The women can be responsible to get in the word. The women can connect with each other in fellowship. Even if you can't provide everything in this season right now. And that's very true. But the struggle is real when we're trying to set boundaries in our life. Another way you may know, you apologize for things that aren't your fault. And I could get into that, but you're always sorry for everything, you know? I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You know, I see this with my mom. She's 92 and she's slow. And so she's trying to say zip up her coat and you're standing there, you got you're all ready to go and she's struggling with her zipper. And you don't just go, here, let me do it. Because you want to always give people their independence. And you let them struggle for a bit, and then you can say, hey, Mom, you want a hand with your zipper? But the whole time, she's like, I'm sorry. And she's doing, and then, you know, you're getting out to the car and she's slow. And then you got to lift her legs in the car. And she's like, I'm sorry. I go, what are you sorry about? Well, I'm sorry, I'm slow. I'm sorry, I'm old. You don't have to be sorry for things that aren't your fault. It's just, that's life. But we do, we apologizing too much can indicate that you're taking too much responsibility too for other people. Right? Like, oh my, you know, your kid does something and you go, I'm sorry. Why are you sorry? That's their choice and their consequence. Why are you sorry about it? You're probably sorry they had to learn that way and you're sorry they didn't listen to you, but those are the things that don't come out. You bite your tongue on those kind of things. This is a really big one, how you can know you don't have a boundary. You complain about someone or something often. Chronic complaining is a mask for poor boundaries. If you find yourself complaining about someone or something often, it's a sign you need a better boundary. So you have this complaint. I'm the only one who does anything around here. I work all day and I walk in to dishes in the sink and pot still on the stove and it's a mess. Okay, well, have you set clear boundaries about what you expect your house to look like when you come home? I was away Thursday and Friday. And I left Thursday at 1 o'clock and I made a cappuccino I couldn't finish. I had half a cup of it and I said to my sister, let's do a test. I'm going to leave this half-filled cup of cappuccino on the kitchen counter and we're going to see if it's still there when I get home. She said, you betting yes or you betting no? I said, I'm betting yes. So we go away, I come back Friday around 4 o'clock. The cappuccino is still on the kitchen counter. And there's pots in the sink. And the flowers aren't watered. Did Mom set some clear boundaries about what she wanted to come home to? Nope. Maybe Mom should have. But you should know better. If there's a cup, you should dump it and put it in the dishwasher. And why, if there are dishes in the sink, can't you put them in the dishwasher? Like, why stop at the sink? Rinse it and put it in the dishwasher. I don't understand the thinking of kids. Honestly, what is wrong with them? Yeah, and husbands, right? Young adult, yeah. Dishes, I'm like, really? You can't, like, just, and put it, ugh. That and lights and drawers open. Honestly, I can't stand it. It's driving me crazy. Anybody got a place for rent? I got a kid looking for one. Just kidding. I love him. 99% angelic. The 1% that isn't is enough to give me gray hair. It drives me. Anyway, yeah. But we do. We complain about this. Uh-huh, you too, huh? Mm-hmm. Or you don't say nothing, and then you're just seething underneath. Send a text. You coming home to clean the kitchen? Have you started your laundry? I'm like, I'm only doing my laundry this week. I'm going to leave it. And Monday, when you have to look for clothes for work, ha! We'll see. I haven't done it yet. The kids' friends are here all summer in the pool, and I'm forever picking up wet towels. The kids don't even bring their own towels. They use mine, and then they just throw them over the fence, on the lawn. Okay, well, have you got any clear boundaries about the pool in the summer? Okay, kids, here's the rule. You bring your own towels, you take them when you go. If you're using towels that are here, this is where they go when you're done. You know, you gotta have boundaries. You gotta have boundaries. But we can get so upset with people for their behavior when they're not mind readers. They don't know what our boundaries are and what I need to feel peaceful in my house. How about this one? My daughter's 25, working full-time and constantly asking us for money. She relies on us to pay her car insurance and help with her rent. We can't even afford to go away for a long weekend because we're paying all her bills. I have a friend like that. Am I enabling this behavior? And do I have clear financial boundaries with my kids? Sorry, baby. This is your bill. Here you go. This is insurance. You don't want this company? Look for another one. Here you go. But sometimes we get frustrated, but we don't set boundaries. And so in the end, whose fault is it? The only person that can set boundaries for you is your spouse can't do it, your kids, you. The Holy Spirit can even tell you, do it. Do it this way. Only you and you alone can decide this is going to be the boundary and make it and stick to it. And I have learned the hard way that people will expect and demand from you exactly what you give them. So if you always come home to the dishes in the sink and the dishwasher not loaded, then they're like, what do you mean? That's how it always is. You've never expected anything different from me. And they will demand. And so when you start setting boundaries, expect for a while there's going to be turbulence. You know, put your seatbelt on because it's not going to be a smooth ride. Because all of a sudden, you set the boundary. I mean, okay, I have this boundary. This is crazy, but I have white towels. I like white towels. And some ladies know we have towels in the bathroom that don't get used for towels. They're strictly to look pretty. And you don't use those towels. I have a kid, when he was working at the oil change place, would come home and use my white towels. And I'd buy new towels. And I'd try and bleach the towels. So I bought new towels. And I hung new towels in the look pretty towels, not to use towels. And I said, if you use the towels, you will be purchasing new towels because those towels are not to be used. He did pretty good for a while. Then he bought new towels. What? Gonna pay for them? Yep, because that's the boundary I set. No more oil, greasy farmhands all over my white towels that are only for a decoration. What's that? Oh. Yeah. Another way you can know that you maybe don't have boundaries is that you lose your temper and you blame other people for making you feel a certain way. Oh, you made me so mad. You know, you make me angry. You know, road rage is really about a bunch of people that don't have a boundary around time management. So they don't get up early enough, and then they didn't pack their lunch the night before, and then they're running out the door and have to be at work at 15 minutes when it's a 20-minute drive. And they're on the road, and they're... Think about it. Road rage is about people with poor time management in a lot of cases. I got to be somewhere. I didn't give myself enough... Yeah. The famous you made me mad or feel and or you make me feel bad about myself is usually a sign you need to focus on setting healthy boundaries that prevent another person from having that impact on you. You may have to leave a relationship when someone is constantly putting you down, or you need to walk away when you feel upset till you can cool off. I had a situation on Wednesday night. I had someone come in my office. Well, we told her to come. We had had a meeting with her. The board made a vote, and then the president and I brought her in the office. She was very, very upset. She was trying hard to maintain her composure. She was crying and angry combined, and she got up, and she marched out of the office, And the president said, oh, I feel terrible. I go, so do I. But, I mean, the vote's been, you know, you guys voted, and that's how it's going to be. And then I was driving home, 8 o'clock, my phone rings, it's her. She said, I'm just calling to tell you I'm okay with you. I had to get up and leave because I didn't want to say something to either one of you that I would regret later. And so this relationship is okay. I mean, this person is, I have a right and left arm at work, these two women, and this is, she's my right arm. And that was really, wow. But she had that personal boundary to know, I have to remove myself because I'm going to say and become someone I don't want to be. So that's really good. Sometimes when in a relationship, your boundary has to be a goodbye. It's really tough. And we could teach a whole, that's a whole teaching on just when your boundary is a goodbye. Because sometimes we have to sever relationships for a variety of reasons. And that's a whole teaching in itself and tough, but it can be done. It can be done. Another way is that you feel powerless. You don't have boundaries if you constantly feel like you have zero power over your time, your money, your life. You know that feeling of, the demands on me are crazy. Everybody wants a piece of me. And you just feel like you have no control over anything anymore. It's like work's demanding my life and my kids are running my life. And, you know, my parents are running my life. Everyone's running my life except you're not running your life. Well, maybe it's just about you don't have boundaries in place, right? So you assess your life and go, where am I lacking boundaries? And I got a few minutes left. So I want to talk to you about the four C's of healthy boundaries. And the first one is clarity. You need to know exactly what your limits are and state them simply. Avoid language, vague language, so there's no room for confusion or misinterpretation. The problem is that one thing is really hard to do because I have to know what my limits are and set them. And the problem is that comparison is constantly pressuring us to go, that can't, you know what? Like, well, I have this issue with my sister right now, big time. And we've talked quite openly about it, but she is like hands-on 2 and 3 days a week caring for mom. I used to call my mother every single day, check on her. If I call my mom once a week right now, it's been a good week. And she is just hands-on doing, and the demands are great. She's there just doing, I'm not. And I'm like, why can't I? Like, she can do all that. Why can't I? And we begin to compare. Okay, so there's something wrong with me that I don't have the capacity to do that. So maybe I need to just suck it up and do it. Okay, or maybe not. Maybe I need to set a boundary. And so I sat down and talked to my sister. Look, this is how I'm feeling. I have this tremendous guilt, you know. And she said, it's okay. You, like, right now I'm at a place. I have limited capacity. Everything, there are demands that need, you know how we say, Jay was saying, what's yours to carry and what isn't? Right now, the load I'm carrying is taking the majority of my capacity. I don't have the capacity to go in and caregive. Plus, I did it for 25 years. The thought of it makes me want to run in the other direction like you would not believe. And so guess what? She's off now. She's retired. She has the capacity to go in to do it. And for her, it feeds her. For me, it just drains me. For her, it feeds her. And so sometimes that's the hardest thing is to really know exactly what your limits are and be okay with it when it's not the same as the person beside you, as the other people around you. That's a challenge. The second thing is communication. You have to express your need open and directly. Never assume that other people can read your mind. I was thinking when Jay was preaching a couple weeks ago, popped in my head about Mary and Martha. And you know, we always talk about that story, but I believe they were two women with two completely different personalities. And Martha, she was a hands-on, you know, I'm going to do this. I got this girl. She probably had all her cookbooks out and she had a menu made and, you know, she's going to do all this elaborate stuff. And Mary never even thought about it. She thought, oh, I don't know, if I guess we get hungry, we'll order pizza. Two different personalities. And then Martha, she gets an attitude. Can't you tell Mary to help me? Honestly, Martha, why didn't you ask for help? And Jesus said, one thing God showed me is that Martha expected Mary to read her mind and get up and help her. Mary would have gladly, I believe, got up and helped had she been asked. She was choosing what fed her. She wanted to be with Jesus and hear him. And if she did, I mean, hey, can you come here for a minute? She would have went and left the room, and just like people did today. Okay, yeah, I want to, but I'm going to go upstairs and help the kids. And so we expect people to read our mind. You know, you expect your husband to know that you wanted to go out for dinner and not cook tonight. No, he don't know that unless you say, look, I don't want to cook tonight. Can we like go out somewhere or order a pizza? Or that people are not mind readers. But it's so hard to say, I can't do that. I need help with that. It's really hard to vocalize our boundary because somehow it feels like it's a flaw in my personality. It's a weakness for me. It's not. It means you're human. And we all have different capacities. And we all got to be free to be me and quit comparing ourselves to other people. And have our boundaries, and my boundaries are different than yours. And guess what? We're both okay. And we'll respect each other's boundaries. Consistency. Continuously reinforce your boundaries. This is so true if you have kids. Because if you let things slide just once in a while, then you're, it's always blurred lines, you know. Well, sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. Do you or don't you? I don't know. Depend. Either you are, you're in or you're out, but you're not both. And believe me, kids will watch that. And they know how to manipulate when you sometimes, you know, you got to decide what's your non-negotiable boundaries, especially with your kids. And I'm going to tell you, it takes spiritual and mental fortitude, especially if you start setting boundaries and you haven't before. Do you know in the book of Nehemiah, he had those, you know, Sanballat and Tobiah, and those came, and they didn't like them putting up the wall. People are not going to like boundaries, and they're going to start, you know, putting pressure on you and manipulating and putting the guilt trip and making fun of you. And who are you? Oh, you're so holy. You're putting boundaries in. You're going to get up early now. Okay. You got to go home because you want to get up early. You got to read your Bible. Okay, whatever. You know, like people don't like your boundaries when you start setting them because you've been a free for all for a lot of people. And all of a sudden access maybe is changing and they don't like it. And so there's rough waters for a while. I say, ride the wave. Let's smooth out again. You've got to be happy with your decision and know you're doing what's best for your peace and to give the best version of me to everybody else. Remember, that's the goal. You want to give the best you, whatever you're engaged in. If you're going to work, you want them to get 100% of you. When you go home to your family, you want 100%. Well, you can't do that without boundaries. And the best version of me gives me a lot of peace. It makes me really happy, and it blesses a lot of people. Because people know when they're only getting half of you, when you're not in it, when you're focused somewhere else, when they know. The fourth thing is confidence. Be assertive in stating and holding your boundaries without feeling guilty. You have to remind yourself of this. You are not responsible for other people's response to the boundaries you set in your life. This is my boundary. How you respond to it is not my problem. As long as I've stated it in love and clearly and all of that. But not everybody's going to be happy with your boundaries. I mean, whose kid's happy when you tell them their bedtime's 8 o'clock? Nobody. They all want to stay up till 9 or 10 or 11. But it's okay. They don't have to be happy with your boundary. You're not responsible for that. You're responsible for keeping your boundary. And then I will just tell you this. Oh, there's so many other things I want to talk about. When you operate in your own strength, you will eventually become overwhelmed. And in order to begin to set boundaries in your life, you have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And you know the scripture, I think you've been using it in your series too. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I do believe that as we are seeking God and trying to get boundaries in our life, that the Holy Spirit is faithful to show us the areas that we need boundaries, we need to adjust boundaries, and then we have to have grace for ourselves to give us permission to rest. And isn't that what Jay talked about last week, was all about the Sabbath? And is, I think, the base scripture of the whole Overloaded series was Matthew 11, 28 to 30, about his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's the place we want to live from. But we can take all of the series, you know, that Jay's been teaching us and do nothing with it. And it's time to take this, examine what's mine to carry, what isn't mine to carry, what can I adjust if it is mine to carry? Maybe, you know, and somebody was struggling with that. Like, there's nothing I can take off my plate. Okay, so maybe instead of, like, meat and potatoes every night, maybe you can do sandwiches one night. So you can adjust the load, right? And if you can't completely remove it, what can you adjust? And then where do you need boundaries? And some people might go, man, my wall is completely crumbled. I got to like start building from the ground up. Some people are like, I got walls, but you know, I need to tighten up my gates. And so our boundaries are allowing things in and out. It's not like keep out no more. We need to allow things in and out in order to be the best version of ourselves that we can. And to walk in the fullness of what God has for us in whatever season we're in, right? Amen. Amen. Time.
That was excellent. As people are quiet, they're pondering. A lot of good examples. Some hurt, right? Some of the boundary examples. Even Sabbath alone, how many have found, actually, Sabbath is about keeping boundaries, right? How many tried to do Sabbath last Sunday? A little bit even. How many found that you had to set some boundaries, right? So, and if you're not good at that, and what you touched on is true. A lot of times we want to do everything in the name of the Lord, so we stretch ourselves, I'm guilty of that, stretch ourselves thin because we want to love and bless. And we have to have boundaries. And that's why our spouse is often very helpful, right? So, yes, you are. Please stand. So, Lord, we thank you for today, the beautiful weather. We've had just incredible weather. We ask, Lord, as we go, that we would ponder this message, that we would take some time to really look to see where we need boundaries in our life. And if we are missing, if we have our walls are shattered and we need to rebuild them, Lord, would you show us clearly? And Lord, I pray if we struggle with that, that we would reach out to others that do well with it and they would come on board to help us to learn to set boundaries. And we thank you for it. Bless this day. Bless everyone here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.